The following program contains heavy spoilers, deep insight, and absolutely no filters. Listener discretion is advised. This is Snobs on Film, and my name is Arthur. And at the table today, I've got Isaac, and I've got Jahan.
This sounds like the fireside chat.
This is my Snoke voice.
I like it. It sounds like the fireside Snobs on Film chat. Do I need to go get my smoking jacket? I feel like I need a cigar.
Today's episode, we are going to discuss The Last Jedi.
I'll let you guys get started. I have a whole problem with what's going on with Star Wars right now cinematically, so I'll get to that, but I'll let you guys go ahead. The trailer.
Okay, I like the trailer. Mm-hmm. I really like the fact that Rey is being trained by Luke in the open, meaning it's an island, there's nature, you see blue skies, water, as opposed to when Yoda trained Luke up, it was in Dagobah, which was just a venerable swamp planet.
But that's how Luke got gangster. But go ahead.
I don't think Luke ever really got gangster.
He had the black on in Return of the Jedi, man. You can't wear the black unless you're gangster. Not as a Jedi.
But again, he was like the only one, so,
so he doing they had to
just, you know what I'm saying?
They broke all the rules.
Right.
Probably sleeping.
He's Iron Fist, basically.
He probably had women on the side. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did whatever he wanted.
Right. You know what I mean?
Who
was like
check
finishing
me?
School.
I'm the only one.
So I have a real problem with Kylo, period. But I have
Thank
a problem
you.
With how Kylo is represented in the opening as a clear disciple of Snoke. And then by the end of the trailer, it appears, it's presented as if Kylo is going to lead Rey to the dark side by extending a hand in a very similar fashion and how in Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader extended the hand to his son Luke Skywalker to join me and we can rule the galaxy together as father and son. Join me and we can rule the galaxy together as mentor and student. So overall, I like the pacing of the trailer. It was a little gratuitous in the scene where there was a shot of the Millennium Falcon being pursued by, I believe it was three First Order TIE fighters, and you see Chewbacca, and then they pull back to reveal this new fuzzy bird-like character.
The Porgs.
To say that no matter how serious this film is, you can still bring the children because
you
got this little furry character.
You not just bring the children, we'll still have shit for you to buy after the movie. No, excuse me, before the movie. Because they're already selling the Porgs.
Yeah.
They're already selling them.
Oh, I didn't even know they had. That's what they were called.
Porgs.
That's worse than the Ewoks.
Who is naming, where is the naming conventions coming at in Lucasfilm now? Let's back up to Snoke, which sounds like the trivia answer for if Snoop Dogg was a Sith Lord, what would his name be? Snoke. But yes, to your point, they're going to be family friendly because this is merchandising. Listen, I dug the trailer to a point. I dug it in the sense that it was what I expected, and I didn't like it because it was what I expected. Ominous line, ominous line, ominous line, action, ominous line, action, ominous line, action. I've never seen power like this before. Something dark is coming. You're going to have to make a choice.
No. Luke says, I've seen this kind of power before.
Yeah, and I wasn't scared before. Now I'm scared now.
Right.
You know, I said before, man, the first trailer when Luke said the Jedi must end, this is why I agree with him. If the Jedi lose and run away one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. This is what they do. He messed up with Kylo, so now he's in hiding. This Jedi is in hiding. They always are talking about some Jedi that's somewhere in hiding, you know, because they messed up something. I'm starting to wonder if Lucasfilm really doesn't have other stories to tell in the cinematic sense. They clearly have other stories to tell in comic books, in novels, on the small screen.
Animated series.
Yeah. Animated series.
You got to watch Rebels, by the way.
I'm definitely going to jump on Rebels.
Okay.
But you know, I'm a huge Clone Wars fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, they've proven that, especially Dave Filoni has proven that, they have many stories to tell. I'm wondering, and you know, we can get into this later, but I'm really wondering, and I wanted to throw this out to you guys, is the future of Lucasfilm in cinema, or is it on the small screen? Again, it was what I expected. I still think Kylo Ren is one of the worst villains of all time. Mm-hmm. The way that Han goes out in Force Awakens, you know, killed by this terrible, bratty, you know, horrible villain who happens to be his son, it was just whack to me. And now this guy is the main villain. And all, not only the term that I've heard before is he's not just the main villain anymore. He's also kind of like the co-protagonist. I think that's the word that the guy who directed Last Jedi, what's my man's name? Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the term he used. They're positioning him almost like a co-protagonist with, you know, protagonist slash antagonist with Rey. I'm also annoyed that if you look at Force Awakens, it was set up as it was going to be Rey and Finn series. Mm-hmm. Now it's Rey series. If you look at the poster that just came out, Finn is about as big as my thumb on that poster. Mm-hmm. Like he
kicked off the original teaser trailer.
I thought he was going to be, you know, it was going to be him and Rey, you know. But apparently it's like, you know, Lucasfilm just to me to this day, outside of Lando, who they handled somewhat correctly, doesn't know what to do with black characters. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
He's hardly in that trailer. You don't even hear his voice.
He doesn't even have a speaking line, I think, in the trailer.
No speaking line. He's just battling that stormtrooper.
Yeah, Poe has a speaking line in the last trailer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Finn doesn't. I mean, it's like he spent the last, you know, 30 minutes or whatever of Force Awakens laying out on a bed, you know, in unconscious. It's just really disappointing to me what they're doing with this character, especially because they hardly have any black characters in a galaxy far, far away.
I think ultimately for me, the trailer fulfilled its purpose. And I think a lot of people love this sort of retro repeat vibe of the original films. Like the cats at the barbershop went bananas over it. Speaking for myself, I think ultimately I just have less of an expectation now for these type of movies than I used to. Like I know you guys are not going to agree, but ultimately these films are directed at the younger market. And they do it very well because they have so many elements that appeal to adults and children, teenagers alike. And that historically has been their winning formula, particularly in regard to the original three and now the ones coming out now and all the standalones. And that's cool, but with that comes a sacrifice. And that sacrifice here is that I think they essentially want to remake the original trilogy now again with modern technology, modern effects for the audience that missed it the first time. They know that that was a winning formula. They know that that was a winning storyline. So they want to repackage it for today's young people. So that, of course, ensures a certain degree of repetition and recycling such that people who saw the original trilogy the first time around will feel like, this again? Yeah, I get it, but it's understandable. And, you know, I'm just trying to look out for you guys here when I say that you should brace yourself for an exact carbon copy of the big reveal in Empire Strikes Back. Instead of this time Luke being told, I am your father, I think Rey's going to be told, I am your brother. And another thing I want to say is that I kind of agree with what you guys were saying about Kylo Ren, but in defense of him, I don't think that he's an inherently weak character. I think that they weakened him unnecessarily. They should never have taken off the mask.
Yep, they took the mask off way too early.
Right, way too early, way too early. So like Darth Vader, the guy who played Darth Vader, the guys who played Darth Vader,
right.
We never saw David Prowse's face. We never saw James Earl Jones's face.
Right.
All we saw was the black cape, the black helmet, the black suit, and that voice. With Kylo Ren, we have all of that, but then he takes off his mask and there's this young, very normal guy inside. And this is no disrespect to Adam Driver, but that part requires a hell of a lot of presence, vocally, emotionally, physically, you know, all of that. And, you know, not all actors have that. Maybe he has it, maybe he doesn't. But if he does have it, I don't think that he properly conveyed it in the movie. Like, that's a complex role, right? This is a very evil person who is driven by extreme insecurity and, you know, huge psychological family issues. He's kind of like the Norman Bates of the Star Wars universe. That's not easy to pull off, bro. He has to conjure up this vulnerability, and he has to conjure up this rage, and he has to conjure up this extreme focus and discipline all at the same time. That's a lot of range for any actor, for mm-hmm. you know, any of your favorites mm-hmm. to nail that is very, very hard. And most people don't even come close. So it may be a little unfair for us to expect him or most actors to nail that. But that for me was the sort of failing of that character. It was really the representation of it once he took off the mask rather than the character itself. Like, I really love the way they did the voice, that engineered, computerized, sort of subtle, evil Roger Troutman vibe. Even the way that Driver delivers the lines was like calm, menacing. Like, the whole vibe is, this is a foregone conclusion. Don't think that you're going to win. I'm already in control. Don't make me break out the force choke. Even the first time we're introduced to him and he stops that blaster shot mid-air. Boy, right, that was a great moment. Right. We've never seen that before.
I do agree with your thoughts on Kylo. I think that my issue with Kylo, my problem wasn't that he took off the mask. My problem was that we found out he didn't need the mask. It was basically, he was wearing lifts. You know, it was like, you don't need that. That's just like a prop, you know, to make you look hard.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that because he didn't.
But Jay, I like it if he would have, like, to what you said, if he was the kind of actor who could have pulled off all that complexity. And maybe it was just he wasn't, the script didn't really give him that opportunity either. But he did, to me, didn't pull off that level of complexity that Jahan is talking about. I like that take that Jahan has on it, but I don't think he pulled that off. So when he takes off the mask and I found out that's just a prop, you're trying to be like your grandfather, this, that, and the third, I'm not interested in this cat anymore. He's just a kid. You can stop a phaser blast in midair, but then two people who have never held a lightsaber in their lives can stand their ground with you? It's like, I'm not feeling you at all. And it's like, you're a bad substitute. Because in this scenario, he's basically supposed to be Darth Vader. He's, you know, he's the substitute for Darth Vader in this incarnation of New Hope. He's a pale comparison. When we first see Vader in A New Hope, I hate calling it that because it was Star Wars when I saw it.
Yeah.
When we saw Vader in Star Wars, there wasn't no, he was a man. You know what I'm saying? It was Anakin was a man at that point. He had been through wars. He was like,
bruv, even when you see Vader at the end of Rogue One, I was terrified.
Oh yeah, by the end, yeah. But I'm just talking about when the world was first introduced to this cat, it was like, this motherfucker is serious. When by the time Kylo, even before he takes off the mask, when he threw that temper tantrum, I was done. I was like, what the hell? And then he takes off the mask. I find out you don't need the mask. It was just like, I'm not feeling this guy at all. So The Last Jedi, I'm a little nervous. Rian Johnson is very talented. And from everything that's kind of leaked out, it seems like this movie is going to be really good. But I'm still a little nervous because I feel like, do I care about him, Rey, the Chosen One? Another chosen one. What should be done with the Force? Is Luke gonna, you know, come back and help fight? It's like all these questions. Like, man, you guys. It's like the good guys are chumps. You know what I'm saying? It's like they. Arthur, go back with me for a second. I had to pause for a second. Hold on. Go back with me for a second.
Yeah.
End of the Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
The Rebels win. Flash forward. Now we've got a bunch of comic books and all this stuff that happened between it, but. For the general populace, for 95% of the people who go see these movies, the last thing you saw was the Rebels winning. Flash forward, 30 years or whatever, to Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. We walk into the theater, and now there's this thing called the First Order. There's stormtroopers. I think the first scene is like the stormtroopers.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
a landing, yeah.
Leia and the rest of them are rebels again? What the fuck? Y'all won.
I know, right? Right.
Hold up.
And we even have another Death Star with, coincidentally, the same single point of vulnerability that if you hit it right here, the whole thing explodes.
Dude, this is like...
You think that, like, you know, building another one, they'd have had a board meeting. And someone would have asked, if you hit it right here, does it still blow up?
I gotta be honest, it felt very lazy to me. I use that term. I don't use that term recklessly because, I say there's a bunch of comic books and books in between. So maybe they did a whole lot of explaining.
Right.
But I'm saying for the general populace who goes to see these movies, to me, it felt like you needed a villain.
Yeah.
You needed to have your guys be the underdog again. So you basically threw out the exact same construct as it was in the first movie, Star Wars in 1977, and then cast these characters that were very similar. It just felt very convenient for me. And so now, again, when I'm watching this Last Jedi trailer, I'm kind of feeling the same vibes. You know, it's like, oh, this person's the chosen one. This person is ambivalent about it. This person's worried. This person's scared.
Okay. I think there's some redemptive opportunities that they have with some of the characters that were introduced in The Force Awakens, and particularly Maz Kanata, who was voiced and acted brilliantly by Lupita Nyong'o, even though it was fully a CGI character.
Yeah, let's cast an Oscar-winning black actress.
Right. Right.
And we won't put her on screen.
Typical.
What the hell?
Just proving again that, well, no, we got black characters.
You don't see them.
I mean, Kylo's black. Okay. So I totally agree with you. There are a lot of conveniences with The Force Awakens, and they were abstracted by the excitement that it's the return of Star Wars, the canonization, Han Solo's back, Chewbacca's back. Okay, we got the band back together. Abrams failed to explain why Luke disappeared.
He did explain it.
He explained it because his nephew went rogue and did some shit that his father did, you know, that his grandfather did.
It was a bullshit reason, but I'm saying they did. Right. They did explain it.
But the thing is, to your point, it's like, okay, I thought y'all won. Right? So is it that when Luke disappeared, Luke was either the figurehead of the Rebel Alliance, and with him gone, now there was disarray? Mm-hmm. Was there a problem with Leia was she always the general? Was she in command? Because
from what I understand, Luke went to basically rebuild the Jedi Order.
Right.
He had, you know, his disciples, or he had his peoples, his kids, which Kylo was one of them.
Yep.
I think it's alluded to in Last Jedi that Kylo, or they're going to show in Last Jedi that Kylo killed the rest of them, didn't he? Or he went bad and killed a bunch of people, I guess.
Yeah, he killed some of the students.
Which is kind of like what Vader did when he slaughtered the younglings.
That's right. Because yes, I think that Kylo has, from day one, has had granddaddy issues. I mean, now, just jumping back to the trailer very quickly, there's a scene where Kylo, he's in a TIE fighter, and it appears that he's going to fire on
Leia.
On Leia.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
Well, but if they did,
they're going to recast her.
But if they did, that would conveniently take care of
Carrie Fisher
not returning for episode 9.
Right.
Okay.
Can you just imagine if they recast Carrie Fisher Fresh Prince style?
I think,
brought in light skin Aunt Viv.
I do think, I bet you, for episode 9, I wouldn't be shocked.
But back to my original thing about Maz Kanata. I think Maz, because she's a heavy, whatever she is, right?
Yeah.
But she's a heavy figure in this.
Right.
Han knows who she is. She's as old, if not older, than Yoda. They might have hooked up. Because she knows about the Jedi, but she's not a Jedi.
See, they were all getting some on the side. They were all about that whole Jedi. Not so, so.
If the Last Jedi spent some time, because I think they need to establish why the Jedi should continue, or why the Jedi is really relevant at this point.
Right. And I think that they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, because from what I understand, Chuck Wendig, who is the author who did, I think, 3 books now, basically what happened after Return of the Jedi. And I think within those books, they do dive into, okay, this is what happened. This is why the Rebel Alliance, or the Alliance at this point, or the Republic, whatever you want to call it, why it fell apart, how the First Order rose, or how the seeds were planted for the First Order to rise.
Right.
And, you know, part of it, which I found interesting, was that when people found out that Leia's father was Vader, she got a lot of hate for that and lost some political power, which I thought was really interesting. There are these stories which are interesting and deep. But again, Lucasfilm understands that the gross majority of people who are going to see these movies are not reading these books. You have to make these stories make sense. And I feel like they're not making it make sense. They're really doing some convenient writing. And then they're also regurgitating some of the same themes.
Yeah.
And here's what's interesting to me. Jay said something earlier about how a lot of the kids who are going to see these movies now haven't seen the originals, the original trilogy, or maybe only seen them once, like on TBS or something like that. But there was 20-something years between these two trilogies, and so it was okay to an extent for them to kind of regurgitate the same theme. You know, they kind of got a pass for that. And I think Jay is basically giving them a pass. There's been some talk that Lucasfilm may, after episode 9, they may take a break before they start another trilogy again. But let's say it's only a few years. Let's say it's 3 or 4 years between episode 9 and, say, episode 10. They can't do that regurgitation again.
No,
because
they can't.
Now we have just seen it,
right?
Like within a decade.
Right.
So now you have to come up with new stories.
Right.
Who gives a fuck about the Skywalkers? Who gives a damn about whose father is so and so and what lineage and blah blah blah?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to come up, and that's where I see my man coming in, Dave Filoni, and be like, okay, I got stories for days. I'm the Rakim of this shit.
Yeah, but you guys know better than I do. There's a whole extended universe outside of the films for Star Wars. They have books. They have comic books. They have computer games. They all of which have separate stories and separate characters. They've got material for days.
But I disagree. I disagree with Isaac on the Jedi always run.
I don't know, bro. Obi-Wan after ran. Yoda ran.
They went into exile. I mean, I get you that they ran. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. But I'm saying it wasn't like this bad event happened. Luke went out, tried to rebuild the Jedi. His nephew went rogue, killed some children.
He went in hiding and his best friend got killed.
There you go.
Let me tell you, dude, hold on. I'm about to snap. Listen, you're right. Obi-Wan didn't necessarily go in hide. They had him and Yoda had to. Everybody else was dead. They had to do what they did.
Right. That's what. That's my point.
But how did, if you watch,
and they had to find and
anybody
save
who has ever watched the Clone Wars, particularly the last two seasons, you got to be scratching your head, being like, how in the fuck are the Jedi? Why were they even in charge? They didn't know what they were doing. They effed this whole thing up. You sitting right next to the Lord, to the Sith Lord. You sitting next to him. And you can't sense that? It's like, somebody explain to me how Yoda could be having tea with this dude. Mm-hmm. Lunches, hanging out after work, and you don't know that this dude is the Sith Lord? That just blows my... Maybe they've explained it somewhere. But to me, Yoda... And Yoda knows in that last season of Clone Wars, he talks about it. He realizes, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
He started to really realize it after they kicked when they messed up with Ahsoka.
Right.
And then realized how... they didn't expel her. I mean, they realized... Well, they tried. They expelled her. But
no,
they
expelled her and they tried to get her back.
Right. They realized
Ahsoka was
up.
Like, nah, I'm good.
Ahsoka, that's why she's my girl. Uh-huh. That's why Ahsoka's my girl forever. But it started there and then it continued in that last lost episodes or whatever, the season of the Clone Wars, where it was like, yo... The Jedi, to me, they're great warriors, great soldiers, great warriors, but they are not, there's no way in the world they should have been leading that rebellion or that the Republic at that point in time during the Clone Wars. You know who should have been in charge? Side note, what race is General Akbar? I'm serious. Dude, I'm serious.
Admiral.
As hard as that.
Admiral, bro.
Admiral, don't, I'm sorry. Admiral. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't disrespect the brother.
Whatever race, they need to be in charge. They need to be in charge.
Hold on.
Have they ever lost?
Hold
somebody,
on.
Somebody look it up, hit us on Twitter, whatever, and tell me if Akbar and the boys have ever lost. Because if they haven't, they need to be in charge. In all seriousness, they need to be in charge. Look, them cats, I'm telling you, those cats are, to my point, and we're laughing, but to my point, those cats are leaders. They're admirals. If you look at a lot of the decision making that the Jedi made throughout the Clone Wars, even in the prequels, even in the three movies that you know got a lot of hate, but extract from there some of the decision making that the Jedi made in there. I don't approve of killing younglings, so that's where I left Anakin. Prior to that, I was on Anakin's side because he saw early on what the Jedi were doing was going to lead to some really bad shit.
But the ghost, the leader of that ship, the leader of that crew is Kanan Jarrus.
Okay.
He's a Jedi. Mm-hmm. And he has on that ship, part of his crew, Ezra Bridger, who's his Padawan.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Right, who incidentally is some random Jedi boy found on a desert planet. But
chosen
fine.
One.
So, you know, you still do have this warrior class of Jedi that exists.
Mm-hmm. You feel my point, though. It's like they're great warriors. But there's a difference between being a warrior and leading.
Strategist and...
Right. And it's like, they had... I mean, Obi-Wan was a great general. Anakin was definitely a great general. But at the same time, it's like, overall, I agree with when Luke Skywalker said at the beginning of the first Last Jedi trailer, the Jedi must end. I'm like, amen.
But see,
they do need to end. The Force will always
Luke
live.
Has lost faith.
Absolutely. He's chumped out, man. It's like, but I agree with that point he made. And it's like, I'm sure that, you know, The Last Jedi may tell the story of Luke finding his faith again. You know, Rey probably is going to instill that in him, finding his purpose, and he's going to come back and we're going to see Luke in action, which I want to see him in action. But I also feel like I wouldn't be upset if they get rid of the Jedi Order, period. And it's just all about how you use the Force. I'm cool with that. Because Ahsoka is not a Jedi.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Darth Maul was not a Sith or a Jedi. Remember when he left? By the way, side note, one of the greatest fights of all time between Darth Maul, his brother, and Palpatine.
Kenobi?
No, Palpatine. Did you see in...
Yes!
Yeah, dude. One of the greatest Star Wars fights of all time. Palpatine versus Darth Maul and his brother. It was excellent. But he was not identifying with, you know, Sith or Jedi. He was doing his own thing. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see after episode 9 what direction Star Wars goes in, because I feel that they're tapping this whole Skywalker chosen one, you know, Jedi thing out. And to Jay's point, there's a lot more story that they can mine.
Shout out also to Admiral Akbar's name. Nice, solid Indo-Persian mogul name.
Yes. In contrast to Snoke or Porgs or... There's been a lot of Jar Jar. You know, there's been a lot of bad ones.
Jar Jar? Oh, we can talk about Jar Jar.
Now, you think he's a heavy cat.
No, listen, and I'm totally serious about this. Jar Jar Binks is actually a Sith Lord.
All right, that's a wrap for this episode of Snobs on Film. Again, my name is Arthur. We can be reached online at snobsonfilm.com. Our Twitter and our Instagram handles are both Snobs on Film. We're going to see you next show.
I'm serious, bro. Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord. All right. Number one, he's a super talented acrobatic fighter. The kind of skill that we only ever see in Force strong characters. Looks like a complete fool when he's doing it.
All right.
AKA drunken style. All right. Number two. Jar Jar's been kicking it with Palpatine, AKA Darth Sidious, for years, bro. Always at his right hand. He's the one who gets the Senate to hand over all power to Sidious. And number three, check out the dude's hand movements. He's basically Jedi mind tricking his way through life. I'm serious, for real. It's a thing. Check Reddit. It's a thing.